Topic 103, Light. 1. Each of us is recognized by the brilliance of his light. This is an occult fact. The finer the grade of matter built into our bodies, the more brilliant the indwelling light will shine forth. Light is vibration, and through the measurement of vibration is fixed the grading of the scholars. Hence, nothing can prevent a man's progress forward if he but attends to the purification of his vehicles. The light within will shine forth with ever greater clarity as the refining process goes on, until, when atomic matter predominates, great will be the glory of that inner man. We are all graded, therefore, if it may be so expressed, according to the magnitude of the light, according to the rate of vibration, according to the purity of the tone and the clarity of the color. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 68. 2. Through his meditation, discipline, and service, man fans into radiant light, illuminating the three worlds, that point of light which flickered into being at the time of his individualization in past ages. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 98. 3. Humanity is the planetary light-bearer, transmitting the light of knowledge, of wisdom, and of understanding, and this in the esoteric sense. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 100. 4. Frequently students speak of a diffused light or glow. This is the light of the physical plane atoms of which the brain is composed. Later they may speak of seeing what appears to be like a sun in the head. This is the contacting of the etheric light plus the physical atomic light. Later they become aware of an intensely bright electric light. This is the soul light plus the etheric and atomic. When that is seen, they frequently become aware of a dark center within the radiant sun. This is the entrance to the path disclosed by the shining of the light upon the door. Students must remember that it is possible to have reached a high stage of spiritual consciousness without seeing any of this brain radiance. This is altogether in the nature of phenomena and is largely determined by the caliber of the physical body, by past karma and achievement, and by the ability of the aspirant to bring down power from on high. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 107. 5. In that light shall we see light. A simple paraphrase of these apparently abstract and symbolic words could be given as follows. When the disciple has found that lighted center within himself and can walk in its radiating light, he is then in a position, or in a state of consciousness if you prefer, wherein he becomes aware of the light within all forms and atoms. The inner world of reality stands visible to him as light substance, a different thing to the reality revealed by the intuition. He can then become an efficient cooperator with the plan, because the world of psychic meaning becomes real to him, and he knows what should be done to dispel glamour. It might be stated that this process of bringing light into dark places falls naturally into three stages. 1. The stage wherein the beginner and the aspirant endeavor to eradicate glamour out of their own life by the use of the light of the mind. The light of knowledge is a major dispelling agent in the earlier phases of the task, and effectively eliminates the various glamours which veil the truth from the aspirant. 2. The stage wherein the aspirant and disciple work with the light of the soul. This is the light of wisdom, which is the interpreted result of long experience, and this streams forth, blending with the light of knowledge. 3. The stage wherein the disciple and the initiate work with the light of the intuition. It is through the blended medium of the light of knowledge, personality light, and the light of wisdom, soul light, that the light is seen, known, and appropriated. This light puts out the lesser lights through the pure radiance of its power. You have, therefore, the light of knowledge, the light of wisdom, and the light of the intuition, and these are three definite stages or aspects of the one light. They correspond to the physical sun, the heart of the sun, and the central spiritual sun. In this last sentence, you have the clue and the key to the relation of man to the Logos. These stages and their corresponding techniques are apt to be misunderstood if the student fails to remember that between them lie no real lines of demarcation, but only a constant overlapping, a cyclic development, and a process of fusion which is most confusing to beginners. From Glamour, A World Problem, pages 191 through 192. 6. Disciples will reach a point in their development where they will know whether they are reacting to the light of the soul or to the intuitional perception of the triad. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 195. 7. What does concern us here is how this light is recognized, appropriated, and used in order to dispel glamour and render a deeply esoteric service to the world. It might be said that the inner light is like a searchlight swinging out into the world of glamour and of human struggle from what one master has called the pedestal of the soul and the spiritual tower or beacon. These terms convey the idea of altitude and of distance, which are so characteristic of the mystical approach. Power to use this light as a dissipating agent only comes when these symbols are dropped and the server begins to regard himself as the light and as the radiating center. Herein lies the reason for some of the technicalities of the occult science. The esotericist knows that in every atom of his body is to be found a point of light. For eons he walks by means of the light engendered within his vehicles, by the light within the atomic substance of his body, and is therefore guided by the light of matter. Later he discovers the light of the soul. Still later he learns to fuse and blend soul light and material light. Then he shines forth as a light-bearer, the purified light of matter and the light of the soul being blended and focused. The use of this focused light, as it dispels individual glamour, teaches the disciples the early stages of the techniques which will dispel group glamour and eventually world glamour. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 196. This is a continuation of topic 103, Light. 8. Quote, "Lead us, O Lord, from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality." Unquote. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 198. 9. The fact of the soul will eventually be proved through the study of light and of radiation, and through a coming evolution in particles of light. Through this imminent development, we shall find ourselves seeing more and penetrating deeper into that which we see today. The quality of the light which promotes and nurtures growth, vitality, and fertility in the kingdoms of nature has changed several times during the ages, and as it has changed, it has produced corresponding mutations in the phenomenal world. From the standpoint of the esotericist, all forms of life on our planet are affected by three types of light substance, and at the present time, a fourth type is gradually making its presence felt. These types of light are, 1. The light of the sun, 2. The light of the planet itself, not the reflected light of the sun, but its own inherent radiance, 3. A light seeping in, if I may use such a phrase, from the astral plane, a steady and gradual penetration of the astral light, and its fusion with the other two types of radiance. 4. A light which is beginning to merge itself with the other three types, and which comes from that state of matter which we call the mental plane. a light in its turn reflected from the realm of the soul. An intensification of the light is going on all the time, and this increase in intensity began on the earth at about the time when man discovered the uses of electricity, which discovery was a direct result of this intensification. The electrification of the planet through the widespread use of electricity is one of the things which is inaugurating the New Age, and which will aid in bringing about the revelation of the presence of the soul. Before long, this intensification will become so great that it will materially assist in the rending of the veil which separates the astral plane from the physical plane. The dividing etheric web will shortly be dissipated, and this will permit a more rapid inflow of the third aspect of light. The light from the astral plane, a starry radiance, and the light of the planet itself will be more closely blended, and the result upon humanity and upon the three other kingdoms in nature cannot be overemphasized. It will, for one thing, profoundly affect the human eye and make the present sporadic etheric vision a universal asset. It will bring within the radius of our range of contact the infrared and ultraviolet gamut of colors, and we shall see what at present is hidden. All this will tend to destroy the platform upon which material people stand, and to pave the way first for the admission of the soul as a sound hypothesis, and secondly for the demonstration of its existence. We only need more light in the esoteric sense in order to see the soul, and that light will shortly be available, and we shall understand the meaning of the words, "And in thy light shall we see light." This intensification of the light will continue until 2025, when there will come a cycle of relative stability and a steady shining without much augmentation. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, pages 101 through 103. 10. The registering of this inner light often causes serious concern and difficulty to the inexperienced person, and the intensity of their concern and fear leads them to think so much of the problem that they become what we occultly call obsessed with the light, and so fail to see the Lord of Light and that which the light reveals. I would point out here that all aspirants and occult students do not see this light. Seeing it is dependent upon several factors: temperament, the quality of the physical cells of the brain, the nature of the work which has been done, or of the particular task, and the extent of the magnetic field. There never need be any difficulty if the aspirant will use the light which is in him for the helping of his fellow men. It is the self-centered mystic who gets into difficulty, as does the occultist who uses the light which he discovers within himself for selfish purposes and personal ends. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 609. 11. Many of the hallucinations, the glamours, the ambitions, and the errors of the modern mystic can all be traced to the early stages and the embryonic beginnings of these developments. They are indicative, therefore, of unfoldment. But unfortunately, they are not understood for what they are, and the available light and energy are misapplied or turned to selfish and personal ends. This cannot as yet be avoided by any but the more advanced and experienced disciples and occultists, and many aspirants must continue for some time destroying themselves from the personality angle and in this life in what has been called the fiery light of their misunderstanding and the burning fire of their personality ambition, until they learn that humility and scientific technique, which will make them wise directors of the light and power which is pouring into and through them all the time. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 613. 12. In all the teaching given to the aspirant and to the disciple in the early stages of their training, The emphasis has been upon the point of light which must be discovered, brought into full illumination, and then so used that the one in whom the light shines becomes a light-bearer in a dark world. This, the aspirant is taught, becomes possible when contact with the soul has been made and the light is found. This is familiar teaching to many, and is the essence of the progress to be made by aspirants and disciples in the first part of their training. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 49. See also the topics Sight, Illumination, and Light in the Head. See also Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 52. A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 73 through 79, and pages 142 through 143, and Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, pages 436 through 437.